I'm Elizabeth. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm going to speak today on step 12.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi.
I found four different parts of step 12, and I'm going to say just a little about each of them. Having had a spiritual awakening. Okay. For me, it doesn't mean a sudden religious conversion with a white light and all the accompanying things. It means a psychic change, like they say. And see, on the big book, page 567, in one of the appendixes called Spiritual Experience, it says, a profound alteration in my reaction to life. Well, that's what I had over the steps and over the years. I went from total despair to hope. I went from total isolation to fellowship. So the despair and hope, that's like step two. The hope is the principle of step two. Each of the steps has a principle. Isolation to fellowship. Fellowship is tradition eight. I went from hate. I hated myself. I hated the world. I hated everybody. I went from hate to love. And love of others and eventually love of myself. So that's the principle of step nine. So that's a psychic change. And I did go from atheism to some sense of a power deeper, greater, stronger, higher than myself. So that's spiritual awakening in a nutshell for me. And then it goes on as a result of these steps. So just coming to meetings didn't do it for me. I had to actually sit down with a sponsor and work the steps. I want to stress how important it is to work all 12, because things started to happen for me in step 1, 2, and 3. They deepened and happened a lot even more in 4 and 5, 6 and 7. And by the time I had done step 9, I was almost totally free of the burden of guilt that I'd been carrying around all the time, some of it deserved and some of it not deserved at all. And I was able to forgive myself and forgive other people and detach from a pretty awful past and live in the present. And it's the steps that did all that and cleared the way, removed obstacles from a relationship with my higher, deeper, greater, stronger power. So then it goes on, we tried to carry the message to compulsive overeaters. Well, I was the fortunate result of somebody carrying the message. I was just in absolute despair. I had kind of a traumatic childhood, but then I had another traumatic event as an adult. And at that point, I just gave up totally. I gave up on relationships, I gave up on the world, I gave up on hope. I gave up on everything. And I started eating, and I gained 60, 80, 100 pounds in that next year. And I got to a number I thought was impossible. And I went in, I didn't have any outside friends, but I did have a job. Well, I went into work, and I said, I am desperate. I am totally desperate. And I give up. I give up. There is no way that I can do anything but go on eating. I've had it with diets. I've had it with all kinds of organizations, ones that sell you food and ones that don't and ones that you pay for and ones that you don't. There's diets don't work for me anymore. I can't stop eating. It's going to kill me. I'm just going to do it. And I don't care how long it takes to kill me, the sooner the better. So I said this at work, and everybody was kind of stunned, but this one person stood up and she gently came over to me and she said, I know something you might be interested in trying. So that was my introduction to OA. She said, I will take you to a meeting. She looked up, she was a member of a different fellowship, not even ours. She found our meeting list. She found a meeting of OA in my hometown. She drove me to the meeting, well, and stayed there with me. Now, one thing that that did was that when I heard some words that I didn't like, I couldn't leave. And one of the words I didn't like was G-O-D, having been raised atheist, like I said. And the other one was acceptance, because I thought acceptance meant everything happened for a good reason and everything was all right and just the way it was supposed to be. Well, from my childhood, that didn't fly. But I thought that's what it meant. So I had a kind of a flare up, and I would have walked out. And the person who was in my little newcomer breakout and had said that to me said, oh, it's okay. Take what you like. Leave the rest. It's all right. Stay here. So I stayed and I came back. And that was carrying the message to the nth degree. It was amazing. So as for me carrying the message, I when it started really working for me and I lost my weight, I went and told everybody I knew, but I didn't know any compulsive overeaters, so and I still don't outside these rooms, so I wasn't directly responsible for bringing anybody in, but I do kind of like to think that I helped some people stay in. I ran a newcomers meeting for a while, intergroup sponsored it, and I was the leader. I volunteer at the office, and people call up in the office, and some of them are just looking for OA, and I get to talk with them. But they're already looking, see? When I lost that weight, I was able to talk to a couple of doctors, and that was word person to person on my... It was a little indirect because I wasn't talking to the sufferer, but they might have. And who knows, the people I talked to that weren't compulsive overeaters around me, they might have talked to other people. You just never know where these things lead. But indirectly, through service, which I like to think of as carrying the message indirectly to bodies that carry the message in wider ways. You know, World OA has the office with a telephone so that anybody who calls from around the world can talk and find out about meetings. It has the website that everybody can just log on to and find out loads and loads of things about OA, including where meetings are. It runs attraction-type ads and things like that. So, and the giving service keeps it running, which means that it's going to be there for the next people that want to come in and find recovery. So, carrying the message person to person, directly, indirectly, has been a big part of my life. And now, to practice these principles in all our affairs, I have a little handout here of the principles, of the traditions, the steps, and the concepts. And it has the opposite of the principles on the other side of it. There's principles like honesty, hope, courage, willingness, humility, all these wonderful principles that we learn to live by in OA and eventually outside OA. And I'll just talk about honesty because that's one that I have trouble with. I do know thoroughly and completely that I am a compulsive overeater, and that I have an addictive personality, and that I want to escape from life into food or anything else. Books was a big one for a while. And I know that, step one. But every day I forget it when I wake up. Every day I wake up like with amnesia. And it never occurs to me that I'm not a normal eater and a normal anything. So I wake up in denial and dishonesty. I wake up in joy, which I didn't used to. But I have to work and pray for a while to remember that I'm a compulsive overeater and to accept what that means, including what I'm going to have for breakfast, and accept the solution and the steps and the higher, greater, stronger power and surrender to that power and the daily actions that keep me in recovery. Because it's a daily disease and it takes daily actions. And another thing about honesty is I believe in kindness. It's not one of the principles, I don't think, but it's a principle that has been very important to me over the years. But kindness can be carried too far, and then I'm being kind to everybody else and forgetting all about myself. And we call it people pleasing, and it's not healthy. So the kind of honesty, I'm on For Today, page 116, which is April 25th, which was yesterday, as I speak now. We honor ourselves and our friends when we can tell them how that we feel. That's from Theodore Rubin. And it goes on to say, expressing my feelings, especially the negative ones, does not come easily. I want people to like me. I prefer to please rather than anger or upset a friend. There are some things, however, that are not worth the price I have to pay for them. Like all progress, willingness is all it takes to learn how to deal with emotions such as anger in a way that harms neither me nor others. And it goes on to say, for today, being honest and open with friends and family is a sign of growth. Well, that kind of integrity and honesty is very difficult for me. When I get in a situation where somebody is saying something, an opinion, a need, especially a need, oh my goodness, I find myself responding to them and I forget all about, do I have time to step in and fill this need? Usually the answer is no. Do I have what it takes? You know, is this a good fit for me? Am I ignoring my own needs? Do I need something that conflicts with it? You know, that's in the spur of the moment. I don't think about those things. And I'm trying my very best to learn to say, let me think about that and get back to you. And really, that's all I'm going to say today. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Great job.